Well, initially, I thought the Holy Spirit had laid something else on my heart this week. I thought it was, I was working from home this week, and initially, like a message of prophecy had started coming in my heart. And then Thursday and Friday, that all changed. We had a chance to go visit, and I'll get into that in a few minutes, but change and transition started coming into my heart. Anybody remember this? This was state of the art. Mom and Dad, before I came along, had a party line. So everybody in the neighborhood shared a single line. And if one person had the phone off the hook, you couldn't, it interrupted it, I think. How about this? Got one of these for Christmas, boy. I record stuff on the radio. And it was just, I used to flip that, fast forward and reverse, and find just the songs I wanted on the cassettes. There's no telling how many cassettes my friend Shane and I bought through the years. There's no telling. With music that now would probably set these curtains on fire. This. First VCR we ever had, I was uptown. This was neat. Never seen anything like it before. They don't even make them anymore. What do they all have in common? They were leading technology at one time. Change. Thursday, Lisa and I and Braden went to North Greenville University. That's where Braden's wanting to go. He's graduating in like 3 months. Started hitting me. There's a lot of change going on. We were there outside the admissions office and realized evil stepdad was not prepared for some of this change, that the five-year-old wasn't there anymore. Young man who's about to graduate was, and he's about to go off on a different chapter in his life. Ben said, we're always in at least one of three seasons of life. We're in the middle of something, we're about to be in something, or we're just getting out of something. You think about where you're at right now, does one of those three apply? Sometimes the change is welcome. Graduation, college. And I know you're going to be missing us, aren't you? Yeah. Might be missing evil stepdad's cooking a little bit. Yeah. I'll take what I can get. An engagement, new job, expecting a baby. Sometimes the change isn't expected or wanted. Being laid off from work, it's an election year. We're being, companies always kind of tense up from the smallest to the largest. Medical device companies, no different. Each of the candidates are offering radical versions of what they consider healthcare, which will affect every hospital, every doctor's office, every device manufacturer, including my own company. And there are rumors going around. There always are. Every 4 years. A wreck, sickness, death of a loved one, even a natural disaster, and the list can go on. Unwanted changes in your life can make you sometimes feel confused, angry, and hurting. And you look towards God, why'd you let this happen? Natural, I've done it. I think we all have, if we're honest. Why did this happen? You can do so much. Why did this happen? This is a sin-filled world. This isn't the world we were supposed to be in. It all changed. Life, God didn't intend this life for us. When Adam and Eve first sinned, they released it. Like this just thick fog that went out into the world. And sin and suffering came into this world. Sickness and everything that goes along with it. The Bible teaches that Satan is the author of sin, and sin is the reason we have afflictions, including death. We were not meant to have this physical death. All of our problems, our suffering, including death itself, are a result of man's rebellion against God. Nobody, cancer, diseases like that, they're not a sin. They're a sickness. But that sickness and suffering was released when the sin was. No one sins their way into sickness. but it's out there stalking along with it. God's provided a rescue in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. That's why Christ died on the cross. We couldn't get to heaven. None of us. None of us, me, and I'm pointing my finger right here. Pope, Billy Graham, whoever, cannot get to heaven. Because no matter how good we are, we fall short. God's grace, his mercy, Jesus' blood. That's what gets us there. This suffering would not follow us into the next world if we accept Jesus. And everyone has an afterlife. We're all going to spend eternity somewhere. Heaven or hell. It's not a popular concept. Sin and heaven and hell. Heaven is. Sin and hell aren't. It's as uncomfortable to write about it and bring it up as it is to think about it. Physical death is just the death of the body. Eternal death is separation from God. That's hell. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians, 1st chapter, verses 3 and 4. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we might be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Paul wrote about dealing with changes in 2 Corinthians. The Corinthians, they were an interesting crowd. Corinth was a city in south central Greece. If you look at Greece kind of like a flower pot, where it comes, it's narrow at the beginning, and it, Corinth is right down there towards the bottom, like where the water spout would be. When your water drains from a water pot, the little hole in the middle, that's kind of where Corinth's at. It was big city. Paul started a church there. There was always a lot of drama going on. One of the reasons why there was so much good scripture in the two letters that Paul wrote to that church was he had a lot of ground to cover. A lot of it. And this was talking about dealing with changes. Reason for the second letter, there were a set of men calling themselves apostles who were false teachers. They were ordering the God pizza. I want an extra dose of grace. I don't want any sin. And you can hold this, and I want extra that. And they don't have them like that. They attack Paul's teachings and his personal integrity, and that caused Paul a lot of stress. And that was a big change for him. Paul had not been used to that. I read through this chapter, 2 Corinthians 4, again, see Paul's teachings come through. Teachings didn't help us as we're going through changes, because we will. Changes will always come. That's one of the things Jesus promised us. I've told you things that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I've overcome the world. That's John 16:33. We'll always have changes, always have trials. Verse 1, I was reading it. Thought about difficult changes in my life. It's easy to lose heart. I have. I've lost heart before. Paul knew a lot about difficult changes. 25% of the verses Paul wrote in the New Testament, which is close to half of the New Testament, were written in prison. 1 out of 4 of his letters were written in prison. Been beaten, shipwrecked, and deserted different times. He never seemed to lose his heart for God. When people read about ministry in this verse, some of them kind of look towards the pastor. Ministry is something that's for every Christian. Every Christian. It can sometimes be aimed towards a pastor, also called a minister, reverend. There's all kinds of names. We're all meant for ministry. Not to get up here and talk like I do, because that's just one of the things I have. Ministry takes a lot of forms. In one of the earlier verses we looked at, sometimes we're called to help people who are going through what we've been through, and it ain't going to be the opportune time for us. Every Christian, though, is commanded by God to participate in this ministry. Ephesians 4:11-13. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the service to build up the body of Christ. God wants to use us all, whether our world's turned upside down or not. How many times have you had that pulling on your heart, that thing, that urging that you need to do for someone else when every single thing had gone wrong in your life? Flat tire, broken appliance. Teenagers you wanted to just strangle. Not him. He does pretty good, I gotta say. And how many times does that urging come on that there's somebody else? I want you to do this. They've gone through what you've gone through. It's not opportune. But that's when God calls us. Do we ignore it or not? What it is it out there on the street corner? No. May not be. It may be calling that person or going to see that person in the hospital. It may be sending them a card. How many times and how many people has a card in the mail brightened your day? Just brightened it up. Just a simple card in the mail, a text, something. I know when I've been at the bedside, sometimes patients have performed ministry for me. I'll never forget a man that I was in a local emergency room. It was a small one. 3 o'clock in the morning, they call out from the front desk, got a man out there with chest pain. Chest pain could be bad supper. It could be a pulled muscle. It could be so much more. Went out. I was taking his history. It was back before they had the electronic records. And he said it woke me up. And it was just like the Holy Spirit. I didn't recognize the Holy Spirit at the time, but it was just like, take him back. Took him back, hooked him up to an EKG. And it was not where it was supposed to be. Man was having a heart attack. We got him stabilized, out the door to Columbia in 2.5 hours. Fast forward 6 months, I'm in an emergency room. I'm the charge nurse. It's a Sunday night. Everybody's got an emergency. Sore throat, splinters. I've had this rash for 3 months. Why aren't you doing something? My eye was twitching. When I get aggravated, my left eye twitches. Felt a hand on my shoulder. And I thought, oh, Lord, what else? Turn around. There's this man. He's walking on a walking stick. He said, you don't remember me? I said, no, sir, I don't. He said, do you remember 3 o'clock in the morning? Do you remember a heart attack? He had had to have a quadruple bypass. That man hugged me. And I about started crying. My night got better. That man was in the emergency room again, not for a heart, there to visit someone. He touched me. That man who couldn't even make a living anymore touched me. He was God's hands and feet. If that man can do it, we can. We can help people. We can be God's hands and feet. It may be asking a friend. It could be just simple. Asking a friend to go fishing with you, that you know they're upset. You don't have to have the right words to say. Pray about it. And it's there. It may be that you don't say anything at all, but just to listen. How many times have you had that just enough steam let off by someone listening to you that you knew you could confide in that helped you put one foot in front of another? Many times, this will happen in God's time, not ours. So it don't tend to happen when we're ready for it. It happens when God's ready for it. In verse 2, when Paul's talking, he's talking about renouncing the things because of shame by the manifestation of truth. Walk with the word, not with the world. Verse 3 and 4, Even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. The world preaches tolerance except to the God who created it. Past 50 years, our God's been forced from classrooms, courthouses, and so many public places. I've read about all the different candidates. And it's not just them for president. It's in local places. And it's not one party. It's both of them. God's being forced out. His gospel along with it. We have pastors right now, one of whom was in a huge church in Houston, Texas, that went on record saying he didn't really believe Jesus rose from the dead. That was just an alliteration. That was symbolic. That man preaches to thousands of people. I'm not all that in a bag of chips. I don't ever claim to be. I mess up. I struggle. I do. But this is what we're dealing with. Our kids, when he was in second, third, and fourth grade, I looked at some of his books. They were filled with Islam. They were filled with Buddhism. They were filled with atheism. Their mention of Christianity was all in negative context. We killed the natives that were here. In the Crusades, we did awful things. And I'm not defending some of that. We Christians did. There have been things that have been done in the name of God that God never wanted. But that's true of every religion. Every religion. You look at what's being done out there right now. That's what they're learning. People who make business decisions are being taken to court for their beliefs. There'll come a time when this church will have to make a decision about how far we stand. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, it may not be why I'm even pastor here, but eventually it will. Universities like North Greenville, who have prayer chapels and regular services, will one day be challenged to keep their doors open. And they'll have to choose between their faith or their funding. It will come eventually. That's not to make anyone aggravated. That's not to get anyone upset. But it is just something that's coming. Jesus told us this will happen. Matthew 10:22. You'll be hated all on account of my name. But it's the one who's endured to the end that will be saved. These are changes that are going on in our macro, our large world, and our micro, our small world right now. In verses 5 and 6, Paul talks about light. Light seems to be a theme of the last couple messages I've had. God's light can't be extinguished. Jesus said in the book of John, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Man said, God didn't call us to blend in, but to stand out. Anybody remember that song, This Little Light of Mine? Truth from children. They see things very clearly. How are you letting God's Christ's light shine through you? I had to ask myself, and sometimes my dimmer switch is down a lot more than I want it to be. Sometimes we can't try any harder. We just have to trust more. I've dealt with trusting this week because sometimes when I get things in my head, like a rumor about work or something like that, I get it's hard for me to get that rumor out of there. And I start thinking about what if and what's going on. And before I know it, I got us living in a cardboard box and we're having to get baby girl and Smokey the pool to pull us because we can't get gas in the truck and all this other stuff. You ever do that? Your mind just kind of takes over. And I know the Holy Spirit's like, Really? Really? You're 48. You're almost 49 years old. How many times should you have been dead in high school? Alone. How many times have you seen me work in front of you? And I have. I have seen the Holy Spirit work. And you still don't trust. And I think that's just a human part of me. I've dealt with it this week. I was dealing with it this morning. In spite of what I've been seeing recently, a nurse I used to work with for years and years, me and Jane, at least I all worked with her. She had a stroke. Thursday night, I talked to her daughter on the Facebook Messenger. She said she'd really love for you to come down and see her. So Braden and I go down, we see her. He's kind of my visit buddy. And we pray with her. She can't talk. Saturday, she talking. She's doing better. And this ain't Mark. That's Holy Spirit. That's God. If you ever think a prayer's been answered for you that I've done, it's not me. It's God. It is God. It's the Holy Spirit. It is not me. Seeing that, I'm still like worried. Bank's going to come. They're going to get the house. They're going to change the locks and all this and that. And I'm like, you know, boy, you've done. Being standing up here, you've washed. You have scrubbed toilets. You have washed rear ends. You can make a living. It's going to be all right. My wife was telling me, something happens, we'll be okay. But it's hard to trust, even when you've seen so much has happened. Trust that God will use you. And then be willing to obey. That's a hard thing sometimes too. It is God that works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Philippians 2:13. One of my favorite that Lisa and Jennifer's grandmother texted to me when I first started preaching. Proverbs 3:5-6. That lady has a hotline with God. It was a Sunday morning, and she somehow knew I was wound up. And she texted that to me. Proverbs 3:5-6. Lean not on your own understanding, but trust in God. He'll make you pass straight. There are times I have to remember that. You don't have to be in the spotlight because you already have the light of Christ in you. Verses 7, 8, and 9. These are just beautiful, beautiful verses. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Those are some of the most beautiful words Paul ever wrote. How many times have you felt struck down? How many times have you felt persecuted? When we weren't abandoned. When we were struck down, we were not destroyed. And we arose again. Maybe not in the way we expected it to be, but we arose again. Paul is talking about two things here, our physical bodies and our souls. Even when that physical body is made of clay and it is being struck down, your soul is something so special. So special. Our bodies are the earth and our clay vessels. I've seen the frailty of the human body. So many things can happen to it. There are times the body can attack itself. Anyone with autoimmune disorder can see that, and they suffer with it. When your body's own immune system attacks, and it attacks every joint, it is painful. It is so painful. I've not dealt with it personally, but I've taken care of many people. I have family members that have it. It's just hard to describe because you look at them and they look healthy, but they're not. They hurt. They hurt so badly. I've been blessed, though, to see the strength of the human soul. It is just a beautiful thing. The human soul, when he is obedient to God and has belief in God, it's when the Holy Spirit's inside it and letting it work. Those are the treasures Paul's talking about here. I've taken care of some really sick people as a nurse and visited some really sick people as a pastor, and I've been saddened by the condition of the human body but amazed by the strength of their spirits. Their bodies were sick and struck down, but their souls shine brightly with the light of God. Some of you may remember Jenny Norwood. She was, her and her husband Jeff used to come here. Jenny was diagnosed with cancer last year, last December, January. She passed away, I think it was June 26th. We had her memorial service here. Jenny, they were doing fundraising and things like that, and we helped out. And Jenny wanted to give some stuff to the church. Fighting for cancer, just fighting for her life. Losing her hair, swelling up. But the beauty of that spirit. When I read those verses, I thought about her. The beauty of a human soul. And it's something that can get lost here. And sometimes we don't even recognize our own beauty. When we are just sick and struck down and nothing seems like it's going right. But the soul is just beautiful. It is. Verse 10, Paul talks about carrying around the body, in the body of the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested. The acknowledgement of Jesus is our Lord and Savior. You can know every word in the Bible. You can obey God's every word. But if, like in Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You can know every word. There are pastors that's going to go to hell. I hate to say it because they don't believe it. There are people in these churches every time the doors open that they recognize they worship him with their lips, but their hearts are far away. And with change, it's so tempting to push Christ even farther away. But that's when we need to grab hold of him, because he ain't changing. Verses 11 and 12. Living in this world means changes will happen in our lives. When Paul's talking about death in verse 12, we're all going to die one day in the flesh. We all will. You can drink as much kale, you can smoothies and stuff like that. Eventually, we all die. The one thing that's unchanged in this world is the key to everlasting salvation, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can change. He's the same. In verses 13 and 14, Paul's talking about our faith in God. It can be hard to have faith in times of great change. We're tired, we're hurting, we're confused, and at our lowest point. Paul tells us later on in 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient in you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. That's hard, though. How many of us like to say, hey, we're weak, we can't do anything? There ain't a hand raised. I don't. Isn't one of the hardest things in the world to be still? How many times when you're caught out in the storm of life and you're rowing to try and get somewhere, but to be still and let God work? It's natural for us to want to fix things. So many of us are burden bearers. We lift up the burdens of others and we take them in just instinctively because we want to fix it. We want to fix it so bad. But there are things we can't. When these changes come up, we want to fix them the way they were, or we want to make it all right. It's more than what we can do. But we take it on. Cast your burden on the Lord and he'll sustain you. He'll never permit the righteous to be moved. I know there are times I feel lazy. That I want to fix it so God don't have to. If I'm really honest with myself, am I saying that because I want to do the work, or is there a little bit of pride in there? sometimes I think there's a little more pride in there for me than wanting to get the work done. Because it can be hard to put everything down and step back. So that admits I'm in a mess. I'm part of the reason I'm in this mess. Can you fix it? And that's hard to do. I mean, with me, Lisa and I are almost role reversals in a lot of things. Like, something starts happening with a pipe, I'm calling a plumber, Lisa's looking up YouTube. And Jennifer and Jane, they're laughing because they know it's true. When we had dishwasher problems, I was frying chicken, Lisa was YouTubing and had a wrench and a screwdriver and was taking our dishwasher apart. Well, I've got like third pan of chicken going, and that's kind of our house. So I'm call plumber. Now, I'm just going to take a look at it. Yes, dear. And it's a, but sometimes I can be that one that I'm going to call that. I just want to try and fix this. Don't want to bother God with it. Think I can fix it. Kind of like when you're trying to teach your kids how to tie their shoes. And when you try and help them, you end up having a worse knot than what you started off with. Yeah. Stand back in these times of change. Get your hands off of it. Verses 15 and 16. Our bodies are going to age. They're going to get weaker. But these are not the bodies of eternity, but our season in this world. Dust will return to earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Death will eventually be swallowed up in victory. By death, the changes that come in this life that we don't want, changes to us and changes to our loved ones that we see and we know is negative. We know that it may not be direct death, but it's indirect. That if things don't change, those people are going towards darkness that they won't be able to come out of. When Paul tells us we're going to have some affliction, but it's a passing thing. Things are going to change in our lives, and we can't stop it. Can't stop change. Black hair turns to gray. Size 38 expands. Try to blame it on the Earth's gravitational pull and axis shifts, but people look at you funny. Especially when you think about going to Chadwick's after service. But one thing that won't change, our God. He's the same God that was there when you first came out of the womb. He's the God that's going to be greeting you when you come, when you leave this world. Promise from Daniel. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. John, Jesus says, John 18, my kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. God wants to be the main part of our lives. Change is going to go on around us. We can't prevent the changes, but we can pray for God help us in how we deal with them. One verse shows it all. God's love for us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And as we go to prayer, if there's a change you're struggling with, lift it up. It may be a positive change and you're unsure of yourself. It may be a negative change. Something with your health, health of a loved one, addiction, separation, divorce, friendship issue. We're all struggling with something. We all have battles. Lift it up. We all want God to answer our prayers. We believe in the power of prayer, but when it comes down to our own individual lives and our own problems, how many times do we really have the faith to go to him about it and believe that God will answer? times we're living in are difficult. We're trapped by our unbelief and fear. But God's preparing us for the end time harvest. He wants to bless us because His nature is to care. But He wants us to trust and obey. Two simple words, 9 letters, but they are so hard. Trust and obey. I'm going to get everybody to stand with me. Heavenly Father, as we come to You in prayer, Father, everyone in this room, everyone listening to this sermon is going through a change. They're going through some type of transition, positive or negative. Father, first help us to remember that You may pull us, put it on our hearts to help someone while we're going through these changes. And it probably won't be the time we're looking for or the perfect time for us, but it'll be the perfect time for You. Father, help us to be Your hands and feet in this world. Father, we lift up those that people are thinking about. They have a face in their mind right now. Those people that are struggling, those people that have undergone bad changes, those people that are just going towards the darkness, and they've given up the concern, and they've given up the trust, and they've given up their empathy for others. And Father, we just ask that You crack open that heart. Put Your light in there and help them to feel what they're doing to the people around them, Father. What their change is doing to others. And Father, bring them back. And Father, as we go out into this world and it is just filled with darkness, and we don't want to shine a light. We don't want to be different. Help us to remember it's okay to be different. When we're obeying You and not the world, we're on the right path. And Father, we know changes will come. There will be changes and transitions and losses throughout this world. You've told us so. Help us to deal with these changes, Father. There may be times You won't take away the loss and You won't change this loss, but You can change us. Father, change us. Make us the people inside and out that are pleasing right in Your eyes. Those that You will say, well done, good and faithful servant, when we come before You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Y'all, the altars are open. If something's on your mind, please come up here. Pray to God. If you want to pray and you cheer, that's fine.